Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, we are back from a fantastic run at the Combine. So much we learned, so much fun we had. It's all about the draft prospects we met along the way.
Absolutely, Adam. We had a great time. Look, you know, you get to Key Bank in the morning. We were there Monday through, Friday, just about. We were all the interviews and trying to chase some of the players. We were able to, fortunately, you got some GMs as well. But, you know, 2-3 cups of coffee. I was good for the whole day. I was able to get that energy, that enthusiasm to get to the players, and they came at it. They came with it, Adam. So it was a fun week. Obviously, the testing on Saturday was great as well.
Great for us because we didn't have to go throw it, of course.
Yes. Yeah. VO2 on Friday, and then the Wingate on Saturday, which was always fun to watch the players go through, Adam. Yes.
Yes, heavy accent on the watch. It's fun to be a fan of that. And if you want to listen to any of our Combine experiences, definitely go back and check our two podcasts live from the Draft Combine. We had on Macklin Celebrini, Caden Lindstrom, Zeev Bouyum, Cole Eiserman, some of the top guys for this year's draft, as well as Chris Morehouse, the amateur scouting director of the San Jose Sharks. So definitely go back and check those out. But Mike, we got a really good show today, a really good guest, Nick Smith from NHL Central Scouting.
Yes, Nick Smith, the forward chosen in the third round by the Florida Panthers in 1997. Also played in Norway, played in Germany. Nick's going to provide all the insight and, we'll discuss all the Ontario Hockey League players. 33 forwards that were named to Central Scouting's final rankings, 17D, 7 goaltenders, and 8 OHL skaters are included in the top 32. Of the ranks, including Zane Parekh, Saginaw, Sam Dickinson. You had Beckett Senecky, the forward there at 13, Liam Greentree at 14, and then the goaltenders, right? Adam Carter George of Owen Sound and Landon Miller of the Sioux Greyhounds, second and sixth, respectively. So, lot to talk about with Nick regarding the Ontario Hockey League. Looking forward to it.
Well, let's bring in Nick Smith from NHL Central Scouting. Nick, thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class today. How are things going?
Great. Happy to be a part of it. I kind of figured my time was coming after I've listened to the rest of the fellows and how well-spoken they are. So I'm hoping to, to do my thing and represent the OHL here.
Yep. Well, great to have you, Nick. And, you know, obviously we saw you at the Combine. You had to interact with a lot of the players as they awaited their testing, particularly for the VO2 Max. As a former player, what were your impressions and what did you kind of take away from helping out at the event?
I mean, first of all, I kind of caught myself, just kind of taking it all in and just feeling very fortunate being part of, the NHL and just this job and to be surrounded by, a bunch of great people that work hard and have helped me so much. And so just fortunate enough to be back in the game. Was very, very happy to be there. But as far as like the players go, that's my favorite part. Like I love mingling with them and kind of seeing what they're about and how they carry themselves and, throwing a couple chirps here and there just to see, kind of maybe break the nerves for them a little bit. But, you forget how young these guys are, you're writing reports on them and you see them and, sometimes you they leave you wanting more and you're going from rink to rink, but I forget too, I've been going, but you look at these kids and they're kids, right? And, doing their best but they're, just good reminder just to, not be so hard on them sometimes and let them kind of do their thing and figure it out, right?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the Combine is getting to see these kids as kids a little bit, kind of break the ice with them, see them relax some, have some fun. But one of the guys that I was interested about at the Combine, we talked about who was doing the testing. Brampton Ford, Marek Vaneker, didn't do any of the testing. Told the media he had a torn labrum in his left shoulder, something that dated back to November. Played all 68 games for Brampton, led them in scoring with 82 points. Played 7 games for Canada at the World Under-18s. I don't know how much knowledge people had of the injury, because even it didn't sound like he might not have even known the severity. But taking all that into consideration, does that raise him up a notch as far as what he's able to accomplish basically with one arm, what he could do down the road when he's actually healthy?
Absolutely. You know, and I know some of the Brantford staff fairly well, and I had no idea. And you know, the fact that he was even there sleeping in a chair, you know, and didn't want to miss it, I think speaks to his character. He's one of those guys that kind of leaves it all on the ice. He's a character guy. When I talk to my boys, like my kids, about, you know, having compete and that dog on a bone mentality, like he's the guy. You know, you watch him play, you watch him work as a rookie, and I watched him a lot this year. Like he's a guy that can go out there and he changes momentum on his own as a young player. He just goes and competes, and you know, he's fearless. He takes the puck to the net and drives wide and goes to the hard areas and will make a, you know, a big hit when the team needs it. He's that player. So I'm not surprised. You know, I think he's a great player. And but I mean, that's him. He's a character guy for sure.
Yeah, a kid that not only is he great on the ice 5-on-5, and obviously he had some PP time, but I believe he was third among all OHL skaters in shorthanded goals this season as well. They get five shorties, so good player there to look at for the draft. Beckett Senecky of Oshawa, Nick, has the size and that offensive touch. Number 13 on Central's final list, goes about 6'2", 177. He tied for fourth among all skaters in goals in the 24 OHL postseason. He had 10. I've heard comparisons kind of to the Hurricanes' Martin Necas. Do you feel Senecky is a legit top 15 selection in this draft, and why?
I do personally. I've liked him all year. You know, especially I saw him real early. You know, he plays that physical. You know, he's not shy to go to, you know, the hard areas, and but he's big and lanky and slippery. You know, and he's good and tight. He's got those fast twitch fibers and tight where he can, you know, create things. And but I just think he's got a really high ceiling as well. I mean, you know, you look at him this, you know, at the combine especially, he's got a lot of growing to do and a lot of maturing to do. And the fact that, you know, he played a big role in four rounds of the playoffs, and you know, has that experience under his belt. And but he's a guy who's still like he's, you know, he's gonna grow, he's gonna get thicker, and you know, I definitely think he's a top 15. I don't think he's gonna last very long.
Talking about physical development, one of the guys that I've really found one of the more intriguing players in this year's draft is Liam Greentree from Windsor. He's 6'2", 215, their captain, their leading scorer, but Windsor finished 19th of 20 teams in the Ontario League. I'm curious from a scouting standpoint, how difficult was it, or even was it, to get a good assessment and projection on what his potential is? And I'm curious if playing at the World Under 18 sort of gave you a glimpse of what he could do with better players around him.
Yeah, Liam Greentree. You know, I've talked to the kid at the prospects game and talked to him. He's an amazing kid. He's a natural leader. You could tell he just gets it. You know, but he's played in some hard games this year, saying that, you know, those games with that don't mean anything are the hardest games to play, especially when you're a young kid and you know, you got the C on and you're, you know, and you're trying to be a leader. And you know, and I thought he did a good job. Like, you know, those are the games, like I said, when nothing's on the line and you're out of the playoffs, it's hard to get up for those games. And I thought he did a really good job. Obviously he's got a knack for the net. He's you know, a natural goal scorer, has got a nose for the net. He goes to the hard areas. And I like the little plays he makes. He's got a good hockey brain as well. As far as the, you know, going overseas, you know, I don't think he played as much as the last couple tournaments as he would have liked. If I'm being honest, I think he, you know, he's a big boy. He goes around at 215, and I would, you know, I would like to see him, you know, maybe 207-ish, and maybe that's a factor on the big ice over there. But he plays a power forward game over here, and you know, he needs to, you know, get on bodies, and he's very hard to contain. But you know, great prospect, great kid.
Two players from the London Knights I wanted to discuss with you, Nick. Defenseman Sam Dickinson and forward Sam O'Reilly each played a real big part for the OHL champion. With Dickinson, I think everyone knew he was going to be a top draft eligible player this season, but were you expecting more from him? And where would you kind of place him in the Lechnov, Bouyim, Parekh, Yakimchuk discussion among North American skaters? And part two to that with O'Reilly, what aspect of O'Reilly's game makes you believe he's a legitimate first round candidate?
Well, I'll start with O'Reilly. Again, speaking about character, like I just think he's one of those players, right? He's a 200-foot guy who does everything. He's very versatile. When I watched him early in the year, he's playing left wing and then he's playing right wing and then he plays center. And he just, he's one of those guys that put me anywhere, coach. I'm ready. I'm ready to play. When he came to the combine, he was getting his rib taped up. I don't know if it was dislocated or cracked or I don't know, but he's the type of kid, like there's other kids who didn't do the testing and I'm not sure, I'm not going to speculate on injuries or anything like that, but he's a kid that, you get the feeling like it doesn't matter what it was, he's doing the testing. And I think that speaks to his character. And I think he's on a deep London team, especially up front. And I think he's, a little more underrated offensively too. And I think we'll see that in the next couple of years when he gets more, PP time and, develops more of his offensive game. But, just a great kid and a good player. With Sam Dickinson, I think he's almost the safest pick in the draft, right? Because he's just that two-way all day type of defenseman. He might not have, the offensive upside, like Parekh, maybe the dynamic kind of, with Boom and Yakimchuk. But he's a big, lanky body that can be, a top four D-man like on any team all day. So he's safe, and plus he might be one of the best skaters in the draft. Like people don't realize how, for a 6'3" kid, how smooth he is how quick his feet are. And he's just, he's just ready. He gets it. I've spent some time with him. He's a great kid. He's got a, a good demeanor and a good approach to the game. So he's definitely pro ready. And I think he's a pretty safe pick.
When I see Sam Dickinson, I think Alex Pietrangelo, just the smoothness and the slow burn to his game. It's so impressive. But Mike mentioned Zane Parekh before, and he's a guy who I found really interesting. I don't know what you were doing at 16, but I don't know if graduating high school was one of them. Zane Parekh did that. He's got obviously the hockey IQ, the offensive skills are off the charts. But the big question seems to be the defensive side of the game with Parekh. He's never going to be the Chara, Weber, Chris Pronger type who can just be big and mean and nasty. But from how he has to be a good defensive player, have you seen the improvement there? And just from talking to him, it seems like there's a real chip on his shoulder to prove people wrong.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. He's like obviously the when you think of dynamic in this draft, like he's right up there. And no, I didn't graduate at 16. I think we're gonna leave that one alone. But he like as far as defensively, I mean, he doesn't have the frame, like you said, like some of those other defensemen, but I thought his defensive game got a lot better as the season went on. And I think his way of defending is trying to outsmart you, if that makes sense. Trying to be in good spots and use his stick and just use his agility and skating to stay out of trouble. And I think he did it pretty well. I mean, it's still a big question mark when you're watching playoff hockey now. We all sit there and watch and how tight the margins are and the physicality and wearing each other down. And I guess is the question mark for him, how that's gonna play out. But I mean, the stuff that he does out there, it's very hard to teach, and he's a gifted player for sure.
Yeah, it comes from a hockey family. His older brother Aiden plays hockey, I believe, for Utica University. His another brother, Issa, headed to Bemidji State to play hockey. And they're also defensemen. So you got three defensemen, three probably solid defensemen too. So yeah. So just to kind of wrap it up here, Nick, this has been great stuff. Are there maybe two to three OHL players we didn't discuss today you feel maybe could make a nice find in the mid to late rounds and maybe someday play a productive role in the NHL.
Well, I don't know about mid to I kind of just had a couple guys in mind that popped out at the combine, and especially this year, and they were partners on Saturday, and I'm like, the two competitive guys with Jet Lechenko and Cole Baudouin, who arguably could be first round picks as well. Like, they're both 200 foot players. Jet's the elite, explosive, smart, very versatile, brings the puck up on the PP, can kill 5-on-3 penalties, and you got Cole Baudouin, who's just a beast, as you saw, with some of the numbers he put up at the combine. And he just has an unmatched work ethic. He's you're nobody's outworking that kid, and he does the little things well. He's already a pro the way he approaches the game, and especially at a young age. He's got underrated hockey sense with some offensive skills that that teams kind of overlook. They maybe see him as a hardworking, kind of in your face type of guy, but he puts up numbers and he scores goals, and he's just a great kid. So wanted to mention those two for sure.
Yeah, Cole Baudouin was someone who really stood out amongst the media, especially for his testing results. But Nick, this has been fantastic stuff. We could keep you all day talking about the top Ontario Hockey League prospects, but thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. Really nice meeting you guys along the way too. And we'll talk soon.
Mike, Nick Smith with some great stuff there. What really stood out to me is Sam Dickinson from London, the defenseman. I mentioned, he reminds me of Alex Pietrangelo, but I like how he called him the safest pick in this year's draft because the skill set, the size, the skating, it's almost fully formed, right? So many of these guys need development. Maybe Sam Dickinson's curve isn't as steep as some of the other guys.
Yeah, I like what Nick was saying about, how, some people aren't really focusing on Sam's skating either. He could be one of the better skaters among the defensemen, which I thought was kind of interesting. And here's a guy 6'3", 199 pounds, can move real well. You watched him in the OHL playoffs, Memorial Cup. He scored some big goals for London this year. And obviously, that's a professional staff over there when you're talking about coaching staffs for junior hockey. So for them to rely on a draft eligible player as much as they did with Sam Dickinson was kind of great to see. Some of the scouts, Adam, during the combine that I spoke to, and some of the other pundits out there, have even compared Dickinson. Pietrangelo is great, but they've also mentioned Noah Hanifin in the same breath as a Sam Dickinson as well. So there's two players I think, he can kind of like, if you're looking for a model or someone that he may portray when he reaches the next level, maybe those two players in general. But look, Dickinson to me is a slam dunk to be a top four NHL defender with that size and skating combination. He has a real mature approach to the game. We spoke to him at the Top Prospects game, right, Adam? And real mature kid, business-like demeanor, has a little bit of fun. And as he bulks up, expect the physical component of his game to become more consistent. Another thing that I thought was real interesting too, Adam, was when you asked him about Zane Parekh from Saginaw, obviously the Memorial Cup champ. Now, you have a story up on NHL.com today on Zane. Great story. I would advise you to go check it out. But Zane is that player, right? We have him both going in our mock drafts, which you can also check out on NHL.com. We have him going 8 to Seattle, so we'll see where that how that transpires. He could go earlier. Obviously, he's offensively skilled, probably one of the more offensively gifted defensemen in this draft class. Defensively, I know people have kind of struggled to find out where he's going to be at the next level, but it'll be interesting to see where he falls, Adam.
Yeah, you can take plus minus however you want to put it, right? So, all right, so let's take the offensive element out of it, out of the discussion with Zane Parekh, because it's 36 goals, 90 something points. The skills are obvious, but he was a plus 35, 36 during his season in Ontario Hockey League. He was a plus 6 at the Memorial Cup, led Saginaw. So, the defensive play, it's obviously there. Listen, is he going to be Chris Pronger? Is he going to be, Zdeno Chara, where he's driving guys through the boards? No, but you don't have to be that to be an NHL defenseman. And look, is it where it needs to be at this point? Not yet, but you're seeing, and Nick talked about it, you see the signs of it. And I talked to Chris Lazari, his coach in Saginaw, and you can see the signs in it. But in talking to Parikh, if you're driven and determined and willing to put in the work to graduate high school at 16, 2 years early, then you're willing to put in the work and you have the drive and the determination to get your defensive play up to where you can be reliable and trusted by an NHL coach at the next level. I have no doubt Parikh can be that guy. Does he have to be, you know, the greatest defensive defenseman of all time? No, and you don't want him to be. You don't want him to sacrifice any of those elite level offensive skills. But I have no doubt he'll get his defensive game to where he can be trusted to play in all situations.
Yeah, that offensive upside is just remarkable. And you said, yeah, let's just put that aside. You know, people know about it. You know, Nick Hague is the only other D with 30 plus goals in a single OHL season in the last 20 years. You know, Parikh has that speed. You could just see coming up ice. I mean, and again, Adam, when I was at the NHL Central Scouting Final meetings in April, and Dan Marr asked the question, hey, who are we going to compare, you know, Zane Parikh to? You know, we've mentioned Erik Karlsson, all these skaters that were Norris Trophy winning defensemen or will one day become Norris Trophy winning defensemen. So the kid has a boatload of talent. He's going to go in top 10 somewhere in this draft. Just a matter of where. And obviously there's so many more other skilled defensemen in this draft. It's going to be interesting to see where all these D guys fall, but that's the intrigue of the draft for sure.
And we'll find out in about 2 weeks when we get to the Sphere in Las Vegas for the draft. So you can learn more about all the top prospects, all the top players in this year's draft by going back to listening to our previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. But while you're listening to those, you can also listen to 30 for 30 Podcast Presents Searching for Hobie Baker. Every hockey fan knows the name Hobie Baker. Collegiate hockey's most prestigious trophy is named after him, but very few know the real story of this all-time great athlete. Using an archive of personal letters and source materials provided by the Mudd Library at Princeton University, as well as original research, the series charts Hobie's glory days as the best collegiate hockey and football player in the nation, his postgraduate NWA in the Gilded Age, New York City, and his exploits as a World War I fighter pilot, which ended tragically in a mysterious crash in 1918. Beyond Hobie's adventures on the ice and in the air, this podcast also recontextualizes the hockey legend through the lens of his lesser-known struggles as a queer man in the early 20th century.
If one game can get you into the Hockey Hall of Fame, this was it.
Hobie Baker starred for Princeton University in hockey and football and remains the only athlete in both the College Football and Hockey Halls of Fame.
The whole atmosphere was electric when he was playing.
You couldn't ignore him, this kind of blonde Adonis.
As famous as he was in his day, he is little remembered now. 30 for 30 Podcast presents Searching for Hobie Baker. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike, Searching for Hobie Baker from 30 for 30 Podcasts, available to download now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, you got that one. And you also have our NHL Draft Class podcast in case you missed the Scouting Combine two-part episode, Adam. It was fantastic. Part one included Macklin Celebrini and San Jose Sharks Director of Amateur Scouting, Chris Morehouse. Part two included interviews with Caden Lindstrom, Z. Booyam, and Cole Eiserman. Past episodes also that are very much evergreen, so you can get, you know, insight into all these players in the different regions that we discussed. Central Scouting's David Gregory, Sportsnet Jason Bukala were on to dissect and discuss several draft eligible players. John Williams, who specializes in the WHL for Central Scouting, was on. Pat Cullen for a discussion on the USHL and NTDP. Jean-Francois Danfousse for great insight into the QMJHL, and Al Jensen was on for some top goalie talk. So a lot there to digest, Adam, but it's all great material leading up to the big day in Las Vegas, buddy.
That's it. Vegas, baby, Vegas. There's a lot more. There's a lot already there to listen to, and there's a lot more to come. You can find our stories at NHL.com/draft. You can subscribe for free anywhere you get your podcast to keep up with NHL Draft Class. All the best guests, all the best prospects, all the best scouts. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.